Now that the game is done, it's our time to check in.
Giannis has it at the left, right elbow. Out to Portis. Here's the heat check from Bobby. And he delivers again. He's got smoke pouring out of the barrel now.
Bucks talk starts now.
Spins around the defense. He attacks the rack and sends it down with a thunderous two-hand slam with a foul.
Live from the Annex Wealth Management Studios, here's Justin Garcia.
Well, they said it couldn't be done, that it was over. This was a lottery team. It was time to rebuild. They would never have a winning streak this season. To be clear, they still don't have a winning streak. They just have back-to-back games for the second time this season. But the Bucks finally starting to somewhat look like the Bucks. They're getting closer to it as they take down the Charlotte Hornets on the road tonight and pick up the ever-elusive second straight win. What is harder to believe, Matt, that it's been 2 months since they won back-to-back games, or that if they win Wednesday, that's their longest win streak of the season at 3?
I think the answer is both. Neither are great.
It's not that hard to believe that you've won. Only 3 straight would be your longest win streak if it took you 2 months to win back-to-back games. But, I mean, just think about that statement in itself coming into the season. And I don't think any of us had the expectations. I shouldn't say any. I don't think many of us had the expectations that, hey, this is a top 2 or 3 seed in the East, and this is a bona fide Eastern Conference contender. Like, there was a best case and worst case scenario that you could talk yourself into. And that best case was, what scares you in the East, right? Like, yeah, the Knicks on paper are a better team. And to be clear, the Knicks have played like a better team than you. But we all thought the Cavs were the prohibitive favorites in the conference. And right now, Cleveland is currently playing in San Antonio. When it's all said and done here, they've stormed back to take the lead, but if this doesn't go their way, they're 534 games into the season. The Pistons have played really well. The Celtics, we thought, were going to be doing what the Bucks are currently doing, and they've been the third best team in the conference. So there was a lot of, you know what, I like my chances with Giannis. On paper, I see some of the flaws, and I get it if you don't believe in this team, but we weren't thinking disaster. And then 2 separate injuries to Giannis happened, and it led a lot of us to question, does this roster actually make sense? Is it as talented as we thought? And again, it's never as bad as it seems. It's never as good as it seems. So you look at the first 5 games of the season and you look at a bulk of the season and try to find something in the middle now to what this team actually is. But this is a chance. And I think we're all still kind of in the you got to show it to me, you got to prove it era with this Bucks season. We've seen 2 games. Great. Let's see 4. Is what we really need to see. And ideally, let's see 5 and take it from there with those final few games on the Western Conference road trip. 855-616-1620 is the Siding Unlimited talk and text line if you want to join us tonight on Bucks Talk as they get back-to-back wins for the second time all season and the first time since October 27th. Giannis back for his second consecutive game. I mean, it goes without saying this team looks much different with Giannis on the floor. I made the reference of, you know, the hockey analogy, and everybody gets to slide down a line now. You don't have to bump guys up where it's not, well, Kuz is starting and we need X, Y, and Z from Kuz. We need this from Bobby Portis. Their roles make a lot more sense. I know by record Charlotte isn't a good team, but conceptually you can see what this is supposed to look like for most of these last 2 games. Now let's just keep this rolling starting Wednesday. New Year's Eve, right? What better way to ring in the new year than a pair of sub-500 teams at Fiserv Forum. 855-616-1620, the Siding Unlimited talk and text line to join us tonight on Bucks Talk, the good and the bad from this one. And I mentioned that upcoming West Coast road trip as well. Are the Bucks in line to catch some massive breaks here? We'll dig into that coming up after this.
We win one tomorrow. That's called a winning streak. It has happened before.
Not this year. The immortal Lou Brown. But they can get a winning streak for the first time this season if they beat the Wizards Wednesday night at Fiserv Forum. The Wizards, the Hornets after that again. And, man, this Hornets team, you know, we were talking about it with Dave during and after the game and mentioned, too, like, this is a good Hornets team. Good-ish, right? I mean, I would assume you're going to face Con Knipple on Friday. The x-rays on the ankle were negative, which is a positive. But he was ruled out rather early for the game tonight. So you did catch a break there. I don't think you're going to catch that break on Friday, but sometimes that's all you need to start to build some momentum and get the snowball rolling down the hill here if you're the Bucks. So I mentioned before the break, can you start to catch a break here with the schedule? These two games are certainly a big part of that, that you are going to be favored and expected to win these two games. And that has to be, again, I'm not going to use must win as the phrase or terminology here, but you really can't lose these games, especially Wednesday night. But this road trip is suddenly interesting. And I've seen a few people make mention of, and we talked about this a couple of times on this show as well, the January schedule that the Bucks have and just how challenging it is. And there's a lot of Western Conference teams on there. There's a lot of really good teams on that schedule in January. You get the Spurs, I think, twice. You get the Oklahoma City Thunder. You get, I believe, every playoff, not play-in, but the top six seeds. You get every one of them but the Houston Rockets coming up in this month. You got two road trips to worry about. Got some tough Eastern Conference opponents. But sometimes you just need to catch a break. And I think anybody that has followed this team so far this season would tell you they are long overdue for a break of their own. They've given other teams breaks. They've had some bad luck. It's time for the Bucks to start to be on the other end of that. And you may have found that tonight, right? Not only with these two that we talked about, all the lead up to this. And you go back to how many times you said, yeah, you can still do it. It's not over yet. You got to do X, Y, and Z with the schedule that the Bucks had leading into the first week of January. And I get not having Giannis changes the complexion of all of that, and it makes everyone different. Where, again, you're thinking about hockey and having to move up a line, and, well, this guy's now on your top line here, and you're going to have to ask him to score goals and do all of this stuff as well. You basically had to do that with Kuz, with Bobby Portis, with Ryan Rollins when KPJ wasn't there, with KPJ when he returned. And now you can start to see how this is how it was supposed to look. With Giannis as the primary driver of everything, and all these guys are supplemental. Like KPJ and Ryan Rollins, these guys can play passing lanes and be ball hawks and just try to continue to get those deflections to lead to breakouts, play at a faster pace now. You can do that when you're getting turnovers and getting in transition. Giannis is the ultimate helper. Miles Turner and what it's changed for him. You know, we talked about Giannis's numbers of the Bucks numbers, I should say, with Giannis on the floor versus off. Same story for Miles Turner individually. His metrics look much different. I mean, the big difference is his usage rate, but he's been much more efficient in the minutes that Giannis has been on the floor. So it's a very small sample size. It's two games, and it's, what, 50 minutes of game time that we've seen this with Giannis, but already you can see how things slot back into place. And, you know, getting Giannis back, I think, earlier than we expected from this injury, break number one. Now, break number two is, you know, speaking of injuries, what other teams could potentially be dealing with. These two games that you should expect to win against the Wizards and against the Hornets, you know, if you do that, you're 16-19. Basically going into the new year here, as I know we'll be one day into January, but you'd be 16-19. And again, we spent a lot of time talking about this on Saturday night. I don't want to belabor it too much here, but every team, you know, I think Wesley Matthews talked about it on the broadcast tonight as well. Every team has those games that you look back at in March and in April, and you just kind of circle and say, man, I remember that one. if only we did X, Y, and Z in this game, that's when you could add to the win column. This is when you could add. And you start to add up 3, 4, and 5 games, and you say, well, that's 2 seed lines. Bucks already have 5 or 6 of those. And even if you don't want to be greedy and say, like, Houston, you controlled for 3/4 of the game before ultimately the Rockets came back, and they're a very good team, came back and beat you. Sacramento Kings is the big one I think you would look at earlier in the season and say, man, how did you lose that game to the Kings, right? The Sixers, late game execution just doomed you. You've had a couple of those. You know, if you win, let's say 2 of those, which isn't asking a lot, if 2 of those go your way, if you use your foul to give at home against the Sixers and win that game, if you execute down the stretch against the Rockets, win that game, we'll add 3, right? If you do what needed to be done against the Sacramento Kings and win that game, all of a sudden, we're talking about a team that if you win your next 2 games, you're 16-19. Well, if you did those other things, you're 19-16, and that's a much, much different story in this Eastern Conference. But it's gone, so you've just got to focus what's in front of you. And what is in front of you is 2 incredibly winnable games at home against this team again and against the Washington Wizards. Then this 4-game road trip that we've talked about quite a bit. Again, going back to that Sacramento Kings game, this is your shot at redemption, not to overblow it too much, but the Kings are not a good team. That is a game you are going to be favored in, and you should expect to win. Game number 2 is in San Francisco against the Warriors. The Warriors have certainly been a better team than you this season. You've beaten them once, and you did that without Giannis. Now, granted, for not just this year, years now, the Warriors have not been a good road team, so that was part of it. But the Warriors have essentially been a 500 team this season. This is by no means, you know, going to the Chase Center all those years prior and that Warriors team of the past. So it's not a, well, there's, you know, you're not going to get that one, so let's move on to the next. The Lakers, by record, have been a very good team. By every other metric, they have not. And the Lakers embarrassed you earlier this season. That was night 2 of a back-to-back for the Bucks. But now they're dealing with a big injury. I know it's not Luka or LeBron, but Austin Reeves is a pretty big piece. He's not going to play in that game. The Lakers just, outside of that game against, oh, by the way, the Kings, they just haven't appeared to fit together since LeBron James came back. So again, provided you have health, that's not insurmountable, right? That's a game where you look at and you say, I kind of like how we match up. Let's see how we look having some rest in this game. And then the final game is the big one, which I think, you know, 2 days ago, yesterday, looking at this road trip, I would have told you, yeah, I think you can expect to go 2-2 on this trip. As poorly as the Bucks have played through 25 games this season, as much as, you know, we still need to see that second win to get back-to-back wins and all the bad that you can point to, at some point the worm is going to turn, you would assume, right? And maybe it's starting now. We'll reevaluate that in a couple of days here. But I think you can expect to go 2-2 because of, you know, the Kings. And you should be able to take 1 from either the Warriors or the Los Angeles Lakers. But, man, that Denver game is going to be tough. The Bucks always struggle there. Denver's dealing with a ton of injuries, too. But they still got this guy named Nikola Jokic who kind of changes everything and lifts all the boats. Well, tonight, Nikola Jokic went down with a knee injury. And I know we're all quick to diagnose injuries, even though we don't have any medical degree here. But I've seen enough basketball, and I've seen enough of these injuries to tell you it kind of felt like a hyperextended left knee that Nikola Jokic dealt with. And if that's the case, I would guess that's 2 weeks minimum for Jokic, somewhere in the 2 to 6 week range. Meaning there's a pretty good chance you may not see Nikola Jokic in that game in Denver against the Nuggets. You're not going to see Cam Johnson. You're not going to see Aaron Gordon. I don't think you're going to see Christian Brown. It's a banged up Nuggets team, and all of a sudden, these are some of the breaks we talked about. Other teams have gotten when they've no Giannis, no KPJ. Now maybe, just maybe, you're going to start to get some of those breaks as well. 855-616-1620. The Siding Unlimited talking text line to join us tonight on Bucks Talk. It's twofold for the Bucks. You got to win, and you know we're not doing a full on look at the standings and playoff scenarios here because we're not even a halfway point of the season. But you also need some help from those teams that are in front of you in the standings, and they've gotten quite a bit of that help up to this point. Tonight may be the night where you're not getting as much of it as we thought. Everything was breaking right for the Bucks. The final two important games in the Eastern Conference tonight so far are not going the way, or at least one of them is not going the way for the Bucks. So we'll bring you up to speed on those scores coming up after this on Bucks Talk. 123-113 final tonight in Charlotte. Bucks take down the Hornets and finally get that elusive second consecutive win. Only took them 2 months to get there, and now they look for their first three-game win streak of the season Wednesday night when they return home to take on the Washington Wizards. 855-616-1620 is the Siding Unlimited talk and text line to join us tonight on Bucks Talk. Let's head to the phone lines here and check in with Aaron. Aaron, are you calling from, is it Uruguay or Uruguay?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Which
just
one?
Just moved down here last week from the Midwest, born and raised in Milwaukee.
Okay. Wait, what is the pronunciation? Is it Uruguay?
Uruguay.
Okay.
Well, if you want to say it almost the right way, okay. Uruguay. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Let's roll our arms a little bit here.
Yeah, for sure. And don't ask how I'm watching the game because I'm not going to tell you. What I find really interesting about this Bucks team, of course, Giannis coming back, it makes a world of difference. He is the epitome of an MVP to a team. But this team, it just got back AJ Green, who is still trying to find his shot. And you can see them, like, giving the ball to him, you know, shooters droop to heat up and all that kind of stuff. But the team is not firing on all cylinders yet. You still see a spark. You still see, what they've been able to put together in flashes over the past horrible streak. So considering the standings of the entire Eastern Conference, considering Giannis being back, considering AJ Green and other people still finding their shot, there's a lot to look forward to here with some things already in place. So I just wanted to bring up that, the excitement, and the fact that it's not all doom and gloom. And even though we only got, a 12% chance of making the playoffs, I think it's a strong 12.
Yeah, I think, and if you want to be the optimist too, it's not 12% chance to make the postseason. It's 12% chance to make the playoffs. So there's a good chance the Bucks would be a play-in tournament team right now. But I agree with you. And I think the thing is you're on the razor's edge of depending on how some of these games go. It's kind of like a choose your own adventure that, they win tonight and we can talk ourselves into the optimism. Okay. Back-to-back wins finally, and make it three, make it four, make it five with this schedule that you have in front of you. And if you do that, then all of a sudden a lot of things start to change where if you win five straight, you're 17-19 and getting closer and closer to 500. And at that point, you might be eighth in the Eastern Conference with how things have gone. If they would have lost tonight, though, I don't know if we're having the same conversation because – it goes back to it's going to be well past 2 months now since they've won consecutive games. And now you're dropping even further back from 500 that it just makes it all that much more of a steeper hill to climb. And it kind of cements, best case scenario is, this team is looking more and more like a 9 ideally or a 10 seed in the Eastern Conference. So that's currently where they're at. But the way you erase that is just continue to win these winnable games and make this two straight, four, five, or if you can even do more than that, then it starts to give you a little bit more cushion because, frankly, no one outside of the Pistons, Knicks, and Celtics are playing all that well in the Eastern Conference. Like, it's, we've talked about it on this show before that it seems like every week it's a new team's turn to say, okay, now you go on a run. And that run is win six of your next 10 games. Everybody else is 500 or worse over that stretch. And even tonight, the Cavs did get a big win in San Antonio against the Spurs, but we saw the Hawks lose again. So now with those two results, the Hawks loss and the Bucks win, you're tied in the loss column with Atlanta and just a half game back of the Hawks in the standings. So you just, as cliche as it sounds, one game at a time and you got to tackle what's in front of you. But I mean, it rings true, and that's what the Bucks did last year, albeit much earlier when you started 2-8. But we're able to slowly pull yourself out of that and get up to where you finished as the 5 seed in the Eastern Conference. And again, I keep mentioning it, but if you would have avoided that, you're the 3 seed. And it may be at the end of the season we look back at this stretch and say, man, if Giannis wasn't injured, we feel like we were the 4 seed or the 5 seed or something along those lines. But instead, we got to fight to get into the playoffs through the play-in tournament. That may be what you face. But you just got to start to piece some of these things together and look better. And it really starts with the offense because I think your defense, realistically, the expectations for this defense are going to be like, can you be just better than league average? If you can give me that as the baseline, and we can get the offense back to where it was early in the season, then you can go on a run with this, with the way that the offense looked when Giannis was healthy and you were starting to find that chemistry with he and Ryan Rollins and other guys. Because your defense for these last, you know, even when you were losing before Giannis's return, your defense for the last, I would say, 2-3 weeks, it has largely been good enough to win games. It has kept you in those games. It's just, the offense has been a mess, you know, which is easy to see why when you don't have Giannis and everything is built around him. So if you can keep doing that and just get that offense to a top 10, even if it is number 10, I think ultimately that's where it's going to have to be for this team to find its optimized success here. But there's still a path, right? You don't have much margin for error. And these games, again, you can't call them must-win games, but I think we can start to say, yeah, it's not a must-win game, but you can't lose this game with the Wizards, with the Hornets on Friday. I think you can put the Sacramento Kings in there and, you know, just start to tackle one team at a time that's in front of you and just focus on playing better basketball. You know, like as much as we laughed at it, the Philadelphia 76ers and the whole trust the process, I mean, that's what you're looking at here right now. Just put together that process to start to play better, find what works offensively. And I think, you know, you look again at the way guys were used tonight. I know a vast majority of you love him. It is almost the exact same conversation we had a year ago with a different player that's on this roster. I'm not saying he's a bad player. I'm not saying that there's no value there to Jericho Sims, but it's the exact same conversation we had last year with Andre Jackson Jr. And for a team that they need offense at this point, it's a tough play when you're fully healthy. And I think that's what you saw tonight, just 2 minutes from Jericho Sims. Kyle Kuzma with 26, Bobby Portis with 23, and he scored 25 points in his 23 minutes. Giannis's minutes are going to go up, but Ryan Rollins and Kevin Porter Jr., 31 and 38 respectively. Said this a couple of nights ago, like Ryan Rollins absolutely needs to be at 30 minutes more, ideally, but 30 is the low figure every single night from here on out. This means, I believe the Bucks are now 9 and 10 in games where Ryan Rollins plays 30 or more minutes, which you would love for that number to, you know, to have 3 or 4 more wins on there to really point to and say, hey, look at this, right? When you play him 30 minutes, good things happen. But I'll take 9 and 10 even for a team that is still five games below 500, that tells you something of where it's been when he's not playing those minutes. So just continue to do that. Those guys, when Giannis's minutes restriction is lifted, those guys are all playing heavy minutes. Miles Turner played 31 minutes tonight. And again, Miles Turner, it looks a lot different when he's got Giannis out there and Giannis is healthy. So those are the guys you're leaning on. AJ Green as well. And just finding the right spots for your role players. But it looks a whole lot different when Gary Trent is supplemental, when Bobby Portis is supplemental, when Kyle Kuzma is out there for defense. And it's not just, okay, these guys are starting and we need big performances because there's no Giannis. 855-616-1620, the Siding Unlimited talking text line. If you want to join us tonight on Bucks Talk as they take down the Charlotte Hornets, a couple of final scores to update you on. We'll see if there's any other updates that have come out of Denver with that Nikola Jokic injury. And the latest trend that we saw come from this game tonight. We'll dig into that coming up after this. 123 to 113, the final tonight in Charlotte. Bucks beat the Hornets back-to-back wins and now shoot for a season-high three straight wins. Wednesday night, New Year's Eve, when they return home to take on the Washington Wizards. The Cavs won in San Antonio tonight. They came back and beat the Spurs. So Cleveland does not drop to 500. They're 18-16. 113 to 101, they win it. But the Atlanta Hawks made it a game. Sliced the margin down to 5 going into the fourth quarter, but the Thunder pull away in the fourth. So Atlanta loses again. Their seventh straight loss. They are now 15-19 on the season. The Bucks are 14-19. You're a half game back of Atlanta. And there's a lot of pressure mounting there. Next game for the Hawks, by the way, we'll know going into the New Year's Eve matchup where the Bucks are. If they're going to tip that game tied with Atlanta with a chance to move in front, or if they can just keep the pace, because they play in the afternoon on New Year's Eve hosting the Minnesota Timberwolves. So it doesn't get easier in terms of the schedule they have in front of them. It's been a clunky fit since Trae Young made his return, but seven games skid, and we mentioned the Timberwolves on New Year's Eve. Then they're in New York to take on the Knicks on Friday. Then they fly to Toronto for a back-to-back on Saturday. Then they come back home against those Raptors on Monday, January 5th. And then the schedule is pretty comparable to what the Bucks have. The Pelicans in Denver, on the road against the Warriors, on the road against the Lakers, in Portland against the Blazers, the Celtics, and then they have the Bucks at home on Martin Luther King Jr. Day. So it does feel like there's potential that these are two teams trending in the opposite direction. And you just got to keep one team in your sights and go from there if you're the Bucks. Right now, the Hawks are that team. I would expect a lot of shakeup there in Atlanta, at least one move. It sounds like they may be kicking the tires on Anthony Davis, but the reporting that has come out of Atlanta is they would love to trade Trae Young, who has a player option this summer. Anytime a guy has a player option, I think it's a safe assumption they're going to pick it up, especially when it's the volume of money that Trae Young's is. But they would love to move him. The problem is, you know, what we just said, they've lost seven straight games since he's made his return. And it's not just this year. It's really since 2021 that you can point to and say they're just a different team with him on the floor versus off the floor. And it's not in a good sense. But all the reporting out of Atlanta has been, hey, that pick that we have from the Pelicans, which there was a brief moment where it seemed like, oh, man, all the talk. And I mentioned it, too, of, look, if this is, you know, the season you'd love to forget because of injuries and things start to go south here, the positive is you pretty well know you're going to get a good draft pick. There is a pick swap, but the Pelicans have been brutal. So at worst, you should be able to keep your pick. And then the Pelicans went on a win streak and started to move up in the Western Conference standings. But then the Clippers did the same, and the Mavs did the same, and now the Jazz have done the same in New Orleans. now owns the worst record in the Western Conference, and I believe the second or third worst record in all of basketball. But all the reporting is that pick that the Hawks have, because the Pelicans gave them that swap. So the Hawks and Bucks are the two teams that will get those picks, dependent on the Pelicans and Bucks record. But all the indications are that pick is off the table. Jalen Johnson is off the table. So it'll be interesting to see what Atlanta, if they stick to that, is actually able to do in reshaping this roster. But it seems like one of those teams that clearly needs something. Cleveland, I mentioned they won tonight. I think any of us that have followed this Bucks team the last few years can tell you. Yeah, I feel like I've read this book before, and I've lived through this. I know where this is headed. You're going to get some big wins like tonight. You go into San Antonio, you beat the Spurs. You're going to have some equally frustrating losses and say, how did we lose to that team? How did we lose to the Pelicans and then the Wizards on back-to-back nights? That's the kind of year it's been for Cleveland. And I can tell you, that doesn't really change. You know, we've seen that the last couple of years. The inconsistency becomes who you are. And at this point, 34 games into the season, I think that's who the Cavs are. The Sixers have been a nice story. I think they're starting to lose a little bit of steam at 16-14. And, you know, at this point, you cannot rely on Joel Embiid. The Bulls, I think we know what the Bulls are. Every year, you know, they're going to win 39 games, and they're probably going to be the 9 seed or the 10 seed. So you're starting to see all these teams that you had high hopes for. Orlando, 18-15 now on the season. That's not where they expected to be, right? I thought, hey, this is probably the 3 seed. Toronto has started to right the ship a little bit. But again, if you can stay healthy and you can start to piece together more of these stretches, and again, all the positives from tonight, the fourth quarter, I think, is what you would really look at and say, this is it. This is how we want to play. The groupings that we had, the style that we played, how we were able to cause turnovers and use that to get in transition, how we used various guys, Bobby Portis to carry some offense, Giannis indestructible and unstoppable in the paint. This is it. This is how we envision playing. I do think you can look at it and say, well, look, if we're healthy and we're playing like this, who cares if we don't have home court? You know, if we play Miami, Orlando, Toronto, Boston, right? If we're playing these teams in the first round, fine. Cleveland, even. Like, we'll take it. Even Detroit, like, they're going to be the 1 seed in all likelihood. Or New York, right? You've at least won a game and been competitive in the other against the Knicks. There is no clear-cut, man, I just don't want to play that team in the Eastern Conference. And that's the difference this year versus really, what, the last 7 years. I mentioned there's a trend that we started to see. Just as we said, you know, it's not a win streak until you get to 3. I don't know if 2 games is a trend, but there does seem to be something building. And now I'm really fascinated to see Wednesday night. Hopefully the Bucks are in the same similar situation here and how things go down the stretch. I'll tell you what I mean coming up after this on Bucks Talk. 10-point win in Charlotte tonight for the Bucks, 123-113. They take down the Hornets. They win back-to-back games, finally, for the first time since October 27th, more than 2 months ago, was the last time they did this. They should get to 3 straight. I'm not going to say they will, but they should get to 3 straight with the Wizards coming to town on Wednesday. From there, they should get to 4 straight. And honestly, from there, they should get to 5 with the Wizards, Hornets, and Kings. Still not a lot coming out of Denver, which is not surprising. I would imagine we won't get any type of update on Nikola Jokic and what that injury exactly was until sometime tomorrow afternoon. But he left the game in the first half with a knee injury, and you got the Nuggets coming up, what, I think 2 weeks from now on the schedule. So we'll keep an eye on that one. The Lakers, you're not going to face Austin Reeves. Yeah, you know how much we love metrics on this show. They haven't been a good team at just about any metric that you would look at, especially when you look at point differential and say, man, it took a 24-point win last night for the Lakers to finally get positive in point differential 30 games into the season. And the Warriors, right? You're not going to look at that and say, well, there's no way you're beating the Warriors. So you have an opportunity to do something here. But staying healthy, playing the right way is going to be the biggest way to get there. Now, I mentioned we may be starting to see a trend here, and that is this in the Giannis IDGAF mode, and just like, I'm going to be the villain here. I don't care. We saw the windmill dunk against the Bulls to close things out. You assumed Kevin Porter Jr. was just going to dribble out the shot clock and take the 24-second violation, which I think there would have been like 7 seconds left in the game then. Giannis got the ball, and I think all of us were like, you know what? Just dunk. Like, make this your thing. Instead, he hoisted a three, and same story of, you know what? Just make the three. Let's see if he makes the three, and this is just the new thing of Giannis is just going to say, screw it. We're not running out the clock. I'm taking shots here. Maybe that's the edge that this team needs, as he asserted himself and said, we're fighting for our lives after the game against the Bulls. So maybe that's what will galvanize this group. But you know what else will is wins. And the way to get there is against opponents that are going to give you a pretty good chance to win the game. The first of those is Wednesday night, New Year's Eve, the Bucks and the Washington Wizards, 7 o'clock tip from Fiserv Forum. 6:30 is when our pregame coverage begins. No Bucks talk coming up after that game. FYI, I know you're all devastated to not ring in the new year with this show, but we will be back Friday night after the game against the Charlotte Hornets. We'll talk to you once again on Friday.